Manila Press presents The Future We Choose, written and read by Christiana Figueres and Tom Rivett-Carnac.
We dedicate this book to Christiana's daughters, Naima and Jihana.
And Tom's daughter and son, Zoe and Arthur. And to the generations who will inhabit the future we choose. Let us not pray to be sheltered from dangers, but to be fearless when facing them. Rabindranath Tagore.
Author's note. About the authors. We are good friends and fellow travelers on this planet, but we differ in many ways. We were born in two different geological periods. I was born in 1956. At the end of the 12,000-year-long Holocene epoch, when a stable climate allowed humanity to flourish.
And I, in 1977, when the Anthropocene epoch, characterized by humanity's destruction of the very conditions that allowed us to thrive, began.
We come from opposite sides of the geopolitical map. I, from Costa Rica, a small developing country that has long been a model of economic growth in harmony with nature.
And I from the UK, the world's fifth largest economy and the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution and its reliance on coal.
I come from a deeply political family, immigrants to Costa Rica on both sides. My father was three times president of the country and is considered the father of modern Costa Rica. Not only did he initiate some of the most far-reaching environmental policies in the world, he remains the only head of state ever to have abolished a national army.
I stem from a family steeped in British history and rooted in the private sector. My great-great-grandfather was the chairman of the East India Company when it was the only company in history to have a private army. My earliest memories are of looking for oil with my petroleum geologist father.
I am the mother of two adult daughters.
And I am the father of a daughter and a son, both under the age of 10. We could have had nothing in common, but we deeply share that which is most important: concern for the future of our children and yours. In 2013, we decided to work together to forge a better world for all children.
From 2010 to 2016, I was the Executive Secretary of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the organization tasked with guiding the response of all governments to climate change. Assuming the highest responsibility for negotiations right after the dramatic debacle of the 2009 Copenhagen Climate Change Conference, I refused to accept that a global agreement was impossible. In 2013, I heard about Tom, who was then president and CEO of the Carbon Disclosure Project and a former Buddhist monk. Intrigued by his unusual combination of experiences, I asked him to join me in New York City to discuss his becoming my senior political advisor. At the end of a walk around Manhattan that took the better part of the day, I turned to Tom and said, "It's clear to me that you have none of the skills necessary for this job, but you have something far more important: the humility to foster collective wisdom and the courage to work within a complexity that is beyond any mapping."
With that, she invited me to join the UN effort to advance the negotiations for the Paris Agreement as her chief political strategist. I designed and led the largely covert Groundswell Initiative. A few years later, the most far-reaching international agreement on climate change ever attempted was finally achieved.
When the green gavel came down at 7:25 p.m. on December 12, 2015, adopting the Paris Agreement, 5,000 delegates who had been holding their breath for hours jumped out of their seats in ecstatic delight, in celebration of the historical breakthrough. 195 nations had just unanimously adopted an agreement to guide their economies for the next four decades. A new global pathway had been charted.
But pathways are valuable only if they are used. Humanity has prevaricated for way too long on climate change. We now have to walk that path.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?